Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. That means the peace be unto you. For those listeners who are not that familiar with the Arabic language, we appreciate you so much. Always appreciate you joining us and being a part of our Jummah today. We have an opportunity to join together in this meeting, and we're going to call what's called the adhan. That means adhan means ears, and when we make the sound of the adhan, we're summoning people to the area who can hear us, and telling them it's time to gather together for the Jummah prayer. So we're going to go ahead and get started, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, that we could do this today.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي الصلاة حي الصلاة حي الفلاح حي الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله
We're going to get started in just a moment. So stay on the line, please. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for guiding us and joining us together with the Jummah service today. We're going to get started in just a moment. We have callers calling in now, and we have also people on the radio line. So we made the call to your name. And we're going to go ahead and get started on the Jummah. Brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our Jummah today. We're going to open up the Jummah. May Allah have mercy upon us and forgive us for any errors that we make, any interruptions. We're asking everybody to stay on the line. We'll see if we can get the second caller in. Okay, I think this is going to work. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad everybody is on the line. Make sure your phone is on mute, please, if you can. Thank you. Okay. Good. We're going to open up with the Hajja. It's called the Khutbah al-Hajja. And this is the authentic way that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, opened up the Jummah prayer, opened up the Khutbah. And he would open up by saying, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Someone else is calling in. Stay on the line, please. I hope this works out. Okay, we'll see how it goes. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي إله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And in the translation, all we're saying is that, and keep in mind, this is the authentic opening of the Jummah prayer that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, used and taught us over 1,000 years ago. Praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides will never be led astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, the one and only. He has no partners in his rule. And will bear witness openly that Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you joining us today. We thank Allah for his guidance and his mercy and his forgiveness. We thank Allah for helping us, saving us, and showing us the right way to worship him. We want to be guided. We need help. Everyone needs help. A lot of people don't think they need help, but how can you get help greater than the help of the one who created you, who made you? You would not exist if it were not for Allah. Everything that Allah has given you, he has put it in the, and we would not have any sort of daily help, daily guidance, daily structure existing. We would not have any ongoing strength. We would not have any way to help ourselves if it were not for Allah. And we would not even exist if it were not for Allah. So let us keep that in mind. I'm always happy and excited about the Jumu'ah you make and hear it in my voice. Always a little nervous, and not the nervousness of someone who's afraid that I'm going to mess up or afraid of, but the nervousness of the excitement that is generated in a person who wants to do their best and wants to and is anxious to deliver something or share something or give something that is very, very, very valuable and very important. And so I thank Allah for the opportunity. It's a great thing to carry something of this knowledge. We can't know it all. Only Allah knows it all. He is Al-Alim. He is Al-Alim, the all-knowing, the one who knows everything, just knows everything. And we can't know it all. We can only know what Allah has blessed us with. We can only get ahead. We can only get guided. We can only get be successful by his permission. And so I'm always happy to share the knowledge of my studies and share some things that Allah opens up for us with the Quran. We don't know everything, and as I mentioned, and sometimes when you're studying the Quran, and sometimes it might be years later, you've read something that you don't even know that you read, or you learned something you don't even know that you learned. And Allah will reveal it for you, unfold it for you. And Allah helps us. And he says he helps you in ways that you know not. He advances you. He strengthens you. He establishes you. And we have to trust Allah. He's called Al-Waqil, the one who is worthy of trust, the one who can be trusted more than anything or anyone. Allah is the one who is the opener of these things. He's the source of these great attributes that he has. And we should learn the Arabic. And some Arabic words sound alike. Al-Alim, that we mentioned a moment ago, means all-knowing. And then Alim means a severe punishment. So it can sound alike, but it's not alike. We have words like that in English. We say two, and we're talking about a number. We say two, we mean also. We say two, we mean guidance towards something, you know, and so forth. But we should learn the Arabic because it is a pure language. It is an exacting language, an exact language. It is very distinctive. It is very clear. It is the language of the Holy Quran, the book in which it's very clear and there's no doubt in it. There's no mistakes in it. There's no distortions in it. It's very clear. So learn the Arabic. It's more important than the English or the French. It's more important than anything, any language on the planet, any sound on the planet. Arabic, the Quranic Arabic, is divine revelation. Those are Allah's own words, his own directions to us, his own guidance. Allah loves us, and he wants us to be safe. And we can think one thing, and it can be completely against what Allah wants us to think. We live in the life of this world, which is constantly encouraging us to think wrongly about almost everything. Allah reveals something in the Quran or in the previous scripture that gives us guidance towards truth, and the society is doing exactly the opposite, lying on Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, the worst thing is for someone to lie or tell lies against Allah. The worst thing is for someone to say something about Allah or say Allah commands us various things and it's not true. There's a verse in the Quran that brought to mind, a verse in the Quran where the wrongdoers, whenever they do anything wrong or evil, they would say, we found our fathers following this way, or Allah command us to do this. Well, they don't have any excuse against their fathers because Allah reveals the truth uniquely to each and every one of us. Sooner or later, Allah will show you the right way, and it's your obligation, your duty, to follow the right way and to save yourself. Allah says, oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stone. Save yourselves. So everybody has the capacity to save themselves and to help themselves. So we bow to Allah, and He opens up the way for us. We learn this Arabic, and it's so clear and concise, we cannot be confused. We cannot be lost. Stay on the line, please. We cannot be confused, and we cannot be lost. We obey what Allah has revealed, and we thank Allah for giving us this guidance. Brothers and sisters, every day is a great day for us as Muslims, but we know that the Jummah is the day that is the greatest day of the week. It is the greatest day of the week. It's the greatest day of the year, the Jummah prayer, the Jummah meeting, the gathering, congregational prayer, Salatul Jummah. The angels come to Jummah, and the angels come there, and they're there first. They rush to the Jummah. And the Muslims, we're told that we rush to the Jummah. The angels are there. They're on the front row. We're told that if we rush to the Jummah, we get a great reward, a great reward. And when we say angels, we're not talking about people. Allah can make an angel appear in any form, but angels are made of light. We can't see angels, but they're with us all the time. And as we mention almost every week, Allah has assigned two guardian angels for you. They're kind and honorable, and they write down your deeds, and they never make you do anything wrong. Angels help you, guide you by Allah's permission. Angels pray for you. Angels want you to be successful. Angels want you to be with them in the paradise, with Allah. Allah says all of His workers, the faithful servants of Allah, will be in the paradise. And we will be happy, happier than any happiness we ever had in our lives. Remember that Allah has set forth for us everything we need to be successful in the life of this world. He says, remember Him. Number one is the faith. He says, remember Him in everything we do. Keep faith in Allah. Obey Allah. Bow down to Allah. Remember Allah in everything that you do. Always say, with Allah, start this thing. Or Bismillah, as we say in Arabic. Bismillah. Always start what you're doing with the name Allah, remembering Allah in your heart and your mind, your soul, your thinking. Turn your whole self, the Holy Quran says, to Allah. Give your whole self to Allah. Do we have to be perfect? No, we don't. A human being is going to make a mistake. You have to because you're not perfect. Only Allah is perfect. Only Allah is perfect. So we bow down to Allah. We ask His forgiveness. We ask Allah to help us. And we pray to Allah. Muslims pray five times a day at stated times. We remember Allah and we remember His messenger, not as equals. Everything, Allah said in the Holy Quran, everything will come to Him as a servant. Everything will come to Him only as a servant. We'll never have any more greatness than Allah gives us. And He has no equals. He has no partners. So everyone comes to Allah as a servant. And remember Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he had the spokesman. The best spokesman that Allah had, Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, called the example. He's the example. So the best spokesman we have is Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him. And that kind of brings us to what we were saying, that we wanted to be our topic for today. That Jesus is not the best example. Jesus is not the best example, the best life example for man. And I know this world would dispute that, and they'll get mad. I had a guy the other day, yesterday, got very angry with me for talking to him and telling the reality about Jesus. I was telling him that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is not a Caucasian. He's not a Caucasian. He's not a European. And the man can look different than they can tell a guy. And I said, you're right. God has one coming, but Jesus is not God. So I have to remind him of things. Brothers and sisters, if you can, please put your phone on mute. Or maybe put your hand over the mouthpiece or something like that. I was telling him that, yeah, it does make a difference what color the messengers are, in the sense that, group they're from, Prophet Muhammad, the prayer of peace be upon him, was sent to the whole world. Jesus was sent to the Jews. But the prophet was sent to their own people with the message from Allah. Doesn't matter what they look like, but what they bring. It's very important.
Okay, all right, class. Okay, sit down quiet.
Allah wants us to remember.
Sit down quiet.
Get back to what I was saying. The prophets are not equal to Allah, but they are servants raised to honor.
Yeah, but I don't want you.
They
hey,
servants.
Is your computer? You got to move down.
And the best of all of the people that they're sent to.
Abraham,
peace be upon him. He was in the area of Babylon and some other areas.
You left it on.
He went through the same area that Prophet Muhammad, the prayer of the peace be upon him, lived in. But long before
check it and see if it's
he
over
and
30.
His son,
if it's over 30,
Ishmael,
go back and see.
Actually built,
thank you, sir.
Built the first house of worship.
Over 30.
Those kinds of things. I'm dealing with my phone here. Apologize. So, Allah, we want to establish that Allah alone. Almighty God, all by himself. He has no partner. But the teachers that the human father that he sent, the teachers that he sent, are sent to their various communities, and they are there to guide the people towards Allah, to remind the people to obey Allah and stay away from corruption.
How much is it now?
Don't join
Allah.
And the teachers teach the people how to pray. So, Muslims are taught to pray five times a day.
How much is it now, sir?
And we're taught to give in charity.
Okay, cool. Okay.
We give 2.5% of our annual income. We're taught to fast. And Muslims fast during the month of Ramadan. That's our major fast. We fast for 30 days. And we, during that month of Ramadan, we also read the Quran. That's a month in which we maintenance our lives. That's a month in which we get ourselves together, like an overhaul. And we clean up our lives. What appears to take is that we experience is because we're fasting. And we dedicated ourselves to the service of Allah through our fasting. And we are reading the Holy Quran and getting the guidance straight from the Holy Quran, Allah's own words. We're getting the guidance from him, and that's what we're following. And we're, in our mind, dedicating ourselves to service of Allah by correcting ourselves and making sure that everything we do is allowed by Allah for us to do.
Hey, everybody sit down, please.
If our behavior in our life doesn't match up with what Allah said in the Holy Quran, we have to have it in our hearts and in our minds and our willpower. By getting this knowledge, we make sure that we want to be obedient to Allah. in order, in proper order, the commands us. That's what the month of Ramadan and the fasting is about. We read the whole Holy Quran during that month. We also, as one of the principles of the religion, call them the five pillars of the five principles. We also visit the Kaaba, or the house of Allah built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, peace be upon him. So if we accept those five things that I mentioned, to believe in Allah, keep your faith in Allah, we call it Iman Allah. If we make our five prayers, Salat, if we give in charity, we call it Zakat, 2.5% of your annual income. It doesn't have to be money. It could be 2.5% of the wealth that you took in that year. And if we fast during the month of Ramadan, read the Holy Quran, we're showing our appreciation to Allah for knowledge, knowledge that is so pure, so clean, that it realigns us. It returns us to correct guidance when we obey. It purifies our lives. It corrects our lives. That's the purification, is the correction. By submitting our will to Allah and obeying Him, we are thereby adjusting ourselves, purifying ourselves. And when I say purifying ourselves, we can't really purify ourselves, but Allah will purify us for obeying Him. So in that sense, we're purifying ourselves. And we fast that whole month of Ramadan, and we're making extra prayers, and we're making sure that we making our prayers on time, the five daily prayers on time. We also visit the house called the Kaaba. We visit the house. That's the fifth pillar of our religion. And these principles, or these pillars, if we do no more, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, you would enter paradise. You would be practicing the religion of Al-Islam, because those five principles are the religion. That's what religion is. We want to practice our religion. We want to be corrected. We want to live a good life. We want to live a clean life. We want to be upright. We want to be strong. We want to be saved, as the Christians say. And not just the Christians that say that. Trust me, everybody wants to be saved. They may not put it into that language, but people want to be safe. They want to be secure. They want to be happy. They want to be at peace. They want peace of mind. They want a sense of well-being going on in their life. People work hard to achieve that. People correct things and change things and move things and build barriers and all of that so they can achieve peace. They can achieve health, safety. People invest a lot of their time in making sure they can just make it. The life of this world is nothing to play with. So in building these barriers and trying to secure peace, we want to take the obstacles out of our life. We want to stay away from gambling, drinking. We want to stay away from drugs. Did you know the early Muslims used to drink wine? The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got the revelation to not drink wine anymore from Allah, the Muslims stopped doing it. So anybody who claims that it's okay to drink wine or to drink liquor or to get on drugs, they're not telling the truth. They lack knowledge. They lack understanding. They lack discipline. They lack obedience. The Holy Quran says we are not to be on drugs. We are not to be gambling. We are not to be fornicating and committing adultery. We are not to be those who join partners with Allah. We are not to be those who disobey Allah in any matter to the best of our ability. It takes willpower. It takes knowledge, pure knowledge, which is the Quran. It takes obedience to pure knowledge, and it takes the willpower to keep striving to obey Allah in everything that we do. And that's what will make a good Muslim, a healthy Muslim, a sensible Muslim. That's what will save us. That's what will give us the best life on earth. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that He has made you to be the best people on earth. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil-nas. Ta'maruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil-munkari wa tu'minuna billah.
that Allah says he has made us to be the best people on earth. And there's others who claim religion. Allah says, Walau Adam, Walau Amala, I forget the second part of it, but it says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas, ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Walau amana ahla al-kitab illa kana khayra lahum minhum al-mu'minun wa aktharuhum al-fasiqun. I believe I said that right. Allah's telling us that, yeah, we want to be saved, we want to be helped. There's others who claim religion too, but Allah says most of them are perverted transgressors. We don't want to be those who claim religion, and we're not trying to live religion. Allah forgive you for your sins. All you have to do is ask him, bow down humbly, ask him for forgiveness, and then try not to repeat that type of behavior. Pray to Allah sincerely and ask Allah to forgive you and strengthen you and guide you. And you do your very best to be the best person or human being that you can be. And let your humanity lead. Obey Allah. Let your humanity lead. Don't let rebellion lead. Don't let disobedience lead. Don't let I'll do my own thing or I can do whatever I want to. Don't let that lead. That's the jinn mentality. That's the fire mentality. We want to obey Allah. We want to please Allah. And Allah says that the believer is one who is not only pleasing Allah, but the believer also is pleasing himself. You have a better life when you know you're doing right. You have a better life when you know you're doing right. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that the believer is one whose deeds are pleasing to him and pleasing to Allah. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said a Muslim is one whose good deeds please him and his bad deeds grieve him. The believer is one whose good deeds please him and his bad deeds grieve him. So let us do all the good we can so that we'll have happiness, we'll have satisfaction, we'll have joy. That's another verse. Allah says in the Holy Quran that believers will have joy in what they do. They'll have joy in all that they do. Let us strive for that. Let us strive for that. Don't join the unbelievers who are just running all over the place, doing anything they want to do. And guess what? All the things they do cause them harm. They're headed for destruction. It's Shaitan who wants the believer to fail. It's Shaitan who wants you to disobey Allah. He wants to prove that he can make most people disobey Allah and be ungrateful for the great benefits, gifts, joys, happiness, opportunities, and all those things that Allah gives us on a daily basis. We're fighting against our own makeup if we don't obey Allah. You're fighting against your heart. You're fighting against your body. You're fighting against your mind. You're fighting against your spirit. You're fighting against your soul. And you're delivering yourself into a bad place when you don't obey Allah. Think about it. You have the opportunity, the freedom, to operate the greatest, I would say, I don't want to call it machine, but the greatest vehicle, the greatest opportunity, life opportunity, the greatest resource on the planet in yourself. Prophet Esau, Jesus, peace be upon him, said that the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is inside of you. We're going to talk about that in the second part of the talk, where we're saying that Jesus is not the best life example, but Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is. So we're going to go into the second part of the talk in just a moment. We appreciate you joining us, and this is the Jumu'ah service. Every Friday, the Muslims meet all over the world. All of the Muslims stop what they're doing. And in the place of the second prayer of the day called the Dua prayer, all of the Muslims practice, observe, stop what they're doing, and come to the Jumu'ah prayer. Jumu'ah, the congregational prayer, the group prayer. And we're praising Allah with that prayer. We all stop. Can you imagine that? 2 billion people stop what they're doing and thank Allah for what he does for them. Thank Allah for guiding them. Thank Allah for helping them and giving them a good life, giving them a clean life, an honest life, family life, giving them help, strength, opportunity in life.
The whole earth and everything you want comes from the earth, and Allah has provided it for him, including yourself. We are the children of Adam, and Allah made the Adam out of the earth. Mud and water, dirt and water, mixed in such a proportion that it could be called and is
okay,
called
you
mud
a charge now?
Or clay.
It should be 30.
The proportion, Allah put a soul in that proportion. We have the proportion, and Allah put a soul in it, and he put the soul with the knowledge, and he put everything necessary in it in such a way that we are the best creature on the planet. We are the best creature on the planet. We are the creatures who have received Allah's own guidance. We're called the best people on the planet, and we're called the vicegerent on the planet. That we are the khalif, or we're the one who is to act in Allah's place as his agent on earth. Allah can do everything himself, but he gives us guidance from each other. And Allah says in the Quran, he has given us grades of dignity, grades of guidance, grades of ability, so that we can, as in a race, go as in a race towards all that is good, and that the best of us will advance. Strive with all your might. Turn your whole self over to Allah. And ask Allah to forgive you and help you and strengthen you. Allah says in the Holy Quran, if you ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive you. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, said if you had sin as big as the earth, Allah has guided, forgiveness greater than that. Allah says that if he were to destroy men according to what they deserve, if he were to punish men according to what they deserve, that's the verse. If he were to punish men according to what they deserve, there would not be anyone on earth. So we have no excuse to destroy ourselves, all these people committing suicide. We have no excuse to lose our minds or to go crazy. We have no excuse to get so stressed out and so depressed that we just lose it. No, we should ask Allah for guidance. We should seek guidance. We should seek guidance. And we should try to get as the guidance to be as correct as we possibly can get. I mentioned a moment ago there's other people who claim religion, but their religion has been tampered with. It's been corrupted. But Muslim religion, that's the pure religion. Our religion is set up the same exact way as the whole natural creation. This is the original way. This is the best way. It's the pure way. Completely pure. All we have to do is obey Allah. He has given us pure guidance, and he makes no mistake. And he says of the guidance he's given us that it has no doubt in it, no corruption in it, no wrong in it, no confusion in it. That this guidance is for the God-fearing, and this guidance is the guidance in which there is no doubt, no corruption, no falsehood, no confusion. It's straight guidance. It's called mubin, which means that which is clear, that which is true, that which is real. Mubin, clear. The Quran's called mubin. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, that's one of his attributes too, that he brings us towards clear guidance. He's called the best guide, the best warner, the best human model. Jesus is not the best human model. He didn't even completely fulfill his mission. So Jesus cannot be called the best leader. Jesus had no family that we know of. It's not published that he had family, even though Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayer be upon him, through the angel Gabriel, that marriage is half of your religion. Religion is 50% marriage. Marriage is 50% of your religion. So we get married, we want a mate. And the different laws vary, but Muslims are told to marry. And that marriage is 50% of our religion. So you don't have the whole story if you're not married, if you don't want a woman. And if a woman doesn't want a man, and as I said earlier, look how everything Allah gives us for guidance, that the world tries to turn it around. Instead of looking for and searching out a woman for marriage, instead of a male searching out a female, you got female searching out female. You have male searching out male. And Allah has strictly forbidden that. You've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Allah has strictly forbidden that corruption called same-sex marriage. Allah has strictly forbidden to destroy the fruit of the womb, to abort the child, to destroy the child. Allah has forbidden that because Allah says the male and the female, he has created them of like soul, of like nature. He has created them, and that's the manner in which he multiplies the whole human existence. Allah loves us, and he wants us to be straight. He wants us to be clean. So don't follow what you, the fads and the foolishness that you see in society, the misguidance, the confusion, the lies, the falsehood. I mentioned that some people claim religion. Their religious life is not strong enough to purify the world or purify society or purify people. Al-Islam is strong enough, and Al-Islam enforces the rules of Allah, enforces the commands of Allah. I've heard even the Pope say, oh, don't bother people. Leave them alone. No. If a man is going with a man or a female going with a female, religion tells you to correct them. They're living in corruption, and religion tells you to correct them and remind them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called Naziran, which means the one who warns you. And the Holy Quran itself is called the reminder. So the truth that's in the Holy Quran, the words that's in the Holy Quran, the guidance that of Allah that's in the Holy Quran, and it's all the guidance of the whole book. It tells you exactly how you're supposed to live as a human being. And that's what we're doing. That's what we follow. The Muslims follow that. And we're to warn others who don't want to follow that. We're to challenge them. If we can, we're to put as much fear in them as possible. If we have to, we need to go to war against them so that they won't corrupt the land and cause the people to destroy themselves. For instance, when people use drugs, they're saying, I can do what I want to do. But we now know that a person who gets on drugs, he can easily get addicted to it. So he's not doing what he wants to do anymore. Now he's doing what he has to do because his body has been captured. His brain has been poisoned. His brain has been changed. His chemistry in his body has been changed in such a way that he cannot stop craving. The craving for drugs. And many times now you hear on the news almost every day about the overdoses. They have drugs that a little bit, just a small, tiny amount of it can destroy the wonderful system that Allah has blessed you with, your human body. Shock it, short circuit it, poison it, damage it in all kinds of ways until a whole organ in your body can fail. Your heart, you have a stroke in your brain. So we don't stand by idly and let the world destroy itself or bring corruption into our environment. We fight that. We fight it. We are enforcers of the law. So we fight corruption. We don't stand back and say, oh, leave them alone, let them do what they want. How can a person of the so-called stature of a pope say leave homosexual alone? How come he's not at the forefront of fighting drugs in such a way that everybody knows that's what he stands for? How come he's not in the forefront of fighting corruption, of gun violence, of big syndicates and mafias and these cartels dominating the very land that he comes from? You get this kind of corruption and these kinds of demonic entities in your land, your homeland, and you won't speak up? What kind of a leader is that? And he says he speaks for Jesus. He says he speaks for Jesus, and he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not a good example of a son, and he's not a good example of a father, because he's not God, and he's not Son of God. Jesus is not an example of a good father. We don't have history of him having family life, even though religion is half, marriage is half of religion. Jesus is known to have sisters, I think two sisters, Anne and another sister, and he's known to have brothers. He had a brother named Simon. Yeah. He had a brother, get his other brother's name, but he had three brothers. He's not an example of for leadership in marriage. He's not an example for speaking up against homosexuality. Now, the real Jesus, peace be upon him, we call him Esau. He is an example of being sincere and loving and being one who represents that he came with Almighty God's words and warnings to the Jewish people who paid him little or no attention, leadership. So he's known for those things. But he cannot be the light of the world, the knowledge of the world, the truth of the world. He can't do that. Jesus is not known to be one who could save himself. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a fighter. He didn't struggle against the evils of the society any more than to warn them and to duel with them verbally. And did his word persist? Did his word last? No. We don't know much about Jesus as far as him accomplishing or overcoming. That's the word I was looking for, overcoming the Jewish leadership. But the Jewish leadership today boasts. They boast how much power they have in the world. They say that they are the chosen ones. They boast that. So I have to ask the Christians, are you going to follow the Jews? Or are you going to follow Jesus? They say that the Jews are God's chosen people. How come they're not saying that Jesus is God's chosen people? Even though they claim that he is the Son of God. Well, he's a failed son because Allah has no children. So there's no example of anyone being a child of Allah. It says right in the Quran that he never was a child and he never had any children. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He never was a child and he never had any children. So we as Muslims, we have to understand and we have to believe that the whole world in this society, we have to believe against what they assert. We have to believe against that. We have to fight against drugs. We have to fight against the gambling, the drinking, the partying, the gun violence, the abortion. We have to fight against these things and to establish ourselves in this land. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer of the peace be upon him, said, if you go to a land and you're the only one who's able to be a Muslim there, he said, if you're the only one able to keep your faith in Allah, to keep up your prayer, to keep giving in charity, to keep fasting, and to keep believing in the Hajj, even if you can't make it, to keep believing that that is the house of Allah on earth, and to face that direction when you pray. All Muslims face the Kaaba when we pray. He said, if you go to a land and you're the only Muslim there, you're living the life of a martyr. And we're told that the blood of the martyr is so holy, he doesn't even have to be washed when he died. But we have to get knowledge, don't we? Because we're also told that the ink of the scholar is holier than the blood of the martyr. And we're also told that one learned Muslim is harder on the devil than 1,000 unlearned worshipers. So we have to get busy. It appears, and it's true, that Allah wants us to sound off. Allah says in the Holy Quran, he has made his servants. He has made us from sounding clay to make sound, to speak up, to be firm. It says, sounding clay, like unto pottery. You know, where you can hear a sound, bang, bang, bang. But the sound that's being made is coming from our voice.
Okay, all right. Cut.
So we
let's,
speak
let's
the truth
back
wherever
to
we are, and we stand up for what's right, no matter where we are. We're enforcers of Allah's truth, and we'll never give it up. Don't worry about the world outnumbering you. They're not bigger and greater than Allah. And Allah says, if you're his friend, who can come against you? He says, not even an army can conquer you if you believe in him. So let us be that way. Alhamdulillah. We're going to go into the second part of the talk, and we're going to continue talking about these things. Alhamdulillah. Assalamualaikum. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for guiding us, showing us the right way. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-kharam rasuleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And in the opening of the second part of the Jummah is a two-part service, we are just saying that praise be to Allah and peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, his messenger, the messenger of Allah, and his family and his companion. And Muhammad is the best of all of the prophets, all of the messengers that were sent down through time. His mission is better than Jesus that we're talking about today. His mission is better than Moses. His mission is better than Abraham, Solomon, David, the father of Solomon. Some of the prophets, you know, they came in twos and threes, lived during the same lifetime. So Jesus and Jesus and John lived at the same time. They were cousins. David and Solomon, father and son. Jacob and his son Yusuf, father and son. Moses and Aaron, brothers. Allah gave these people power. He gave them guidance to share with mankind. Mm-hmm. To share with their people.
Okay, all right.
To lead them out of darkness into light.
Okay.
That is the job of all
Dude,
Muslims.
Mr.
But specifically, that's the
man.
Job of the messenger. To take Allah's light, use Allah's light, to use Allah's guidance, Allah's words, to lead people out of confusion, out of ignorance, out of nonsense, out of corruption. Lead them into purity, the light of purity, the light of obedience, the light of understanding, the light of truth, to lead them out of darkness and into light. That's the job of the believer. That's the mission of the believer, and it never stops. This is Islamic culture. You may have heard me call myself an Islamic cultural scientist. This is the job of the Islamic culture, is to continue to live forever obeying Allah each and every day, to remember Allah in everything that we do. We just get stronger and stronger and stronger. We study what Allah says. We believe in what Allah says. We memorize. We try to memorize these verses. You've heard me say several verses in Arabic. The Arabic is purer than the English. The Arabic is purer than the French, the German, the Russian, or whatever, Japanese, Czechoslovakian. It's purer. The Arabic is pure. Some of those languages are really ugly inside. So you can learn a language in 2 to 3 years. Pretty fluent. 2 to 3 years of studying a language. Just an hour or so a day. We'll give you fluency, I think is the right word. In 2 to 3 years. Isn't it wonderful that Allah has made the mind, the brain like that? Isn't it wonderful that Allah has given us a gift like that? And most of us won't use it. We just waste time and waste time and waste time. That's why Allah warns us in the Holy Quran that the waster is the brother of the devil. The waster is the brother of the devil. Don't waste time. Don't waste opportunities. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your health. Study. Learn. And Allah tells us to look up to the people who have knowledge. So when we hear about we should be taking shots, or we should be taking medicine to ward off sickness, we should listen to that. I know people, the government has paid thousands of dollars for their various medications. They say, I ain't taking that. They don't, doctors don't know what he's talking about.
No.
They'll be sick. Some of them, they're so psyched out. They get to the doctor's office and all of a sudden they feel better and go back home. It's psychological. Brothers and sisters, there's no creature on the planet more psychological than the human being. There's no creature on the planet more psychological, more mental, more spiritual, more full of knowledge and understanding and the invisible qualities that make us superior than the other creatures. There's no creature on the planet more psychological than the human being. If you will obey what Allah says, you will never be captured or severely interrupted by shaitan. Never. Believe in Allah and obey Allah and strive for Allah. Let's do everything we can. Let's not waste our time. Let's not waste our resources. Join together, work together. Try to help people. Pull people up. That's the job of a Muslim. Our knowledge increases us. And Allah says, in fact, one of the prayers we're supposed to say before we read the Quran is Rabbi Zidni Ilma. Rabbi Zidni Ilma. My Lord, increase me in knowledge. Increase me in knowledge. And this knowledge is so powerful that Allah gives us. It wards off ignorance. It wards off disease. It wards off ignorance and evil. In fact, the Holy Quran, one of its qualities, it's called Shifa'un, that is the healing in it. It's the healing book. Shifa'un, the healing book. Words that can heal you. Words that can give you guidance and turn the lights on inside your head. That can increase you psychologically. That can make things clear up and in the confusion. And that can dissolve stress, do away with stress and pressure. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ أَهْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So lose not heart, nor fall into despair, for you must gain mastery if you're true in faith. That means to be true and faithful to this knowledge, to what Allah says. To be true and faithful to his guidance. And then the mastery, little by little, you get better, stronger, smarter, more capable, more able, more wise. Yes. Well, Allah said in the Holy Quran that whoever Allah has given knowledge to, wisdom to, has received a benefit overflowing. Mm-hmm. Has received a benefit overflowing. We will grow if we believe in Allah. If we worship Allah, we'll grow. We'll get stronger. Let us increase. Rabbi Zidni Ilman, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Don't be satisfied to be a small thing. Don't be satisfied with, I got enough knowledge. I don't need to study anymore. I don't need to think. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the Quran that the dhikr, thinking, increases you. It's almost the same word, dhikr, thinking, dhikr, thinking, dhikr, thinking. Dhikr increases you. Remembrance of Allah increases you. Allah says we are benefited by reflecting and thinking and analyzing things. By slowing down, being patient and analyzing things, think things through. Think broadly. Don't be narrow-minded. Don't believe everything everybody says around you. Be willing to make whole new worlds with your mind. New paths, new ideas, new thoughts that are in line with what Allah has revealed in the Holy Quran. Don't come up with some nonsense, some superstition, and say this will do or that'll do. Isn't the world full of that? Look at what they're doing. Burning trees, bringing a fresh, flammable, one of the most flammable trees on the planet into their house, claiming that's part of the worship of God or worship of Jesus or something. One spark hit that tree and the whole house goes up so fast, that room goes up so fast, it'll just shock you. You've seen it. the TV news, the news. Somebody had a camera on that, or the firemen will bring one out every year and show an example of what happened. It's so ingrained in them to do it that they say, okay, I won't bring in a green burning tree. I'll just bring in a fake tree. You know why? Because the Europeans used to practice fire worship. It's from way, way back, thousands of years ago. They've been doing this kind of thing. Fire worship. Set the trees, go in the woods, set the trees on fire, and dance around the tree. And they now have incorporated that into their superstition called Christmas. They have now incorporated fire burning and put the lights. The lights were supposed to be the example. They don't use fire anymore, but they use the lights to take the example or take the place of the flames. That's why the little bulbs most of the time are in the shape of a flame. Yeah, the little bulbs in the shape of the flame because they still insist upon performing their fire worship, idolatry. The flame, the tree, the burning symbol is part of their idolatrous patterns and idolatrous behavior that they've had and been doing for thousands of years, mythology. They mix all kinds of superstition and rituals together and then say this whole thing represents this particular holiday, so-called holiday. They call it holy. But it's not. They're misusing the name of Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam. He would never condone these types of things. It's nonsense. He would never do that. But look at what's going on in the Western world. And they demand, their business people, they demand that you get involved in this. They demand that you go out and spend up all your money. It's not that they get that they force you. But psychologically, that's why you have to be so strong psychologically. Because psychologically, they're constantly coming at you and suggesting that this is the thing to do. This is the thing to do. So they bring out their wine, and they bring out all of their parties and stuff, and they say it's religion. And they use that in the furtherance of their paganism. It's pagan worship, pagan religion. So they bring that out and they incorporate it into their falsehood, and it's used in the furtherance of their idolatry, their idol worship. And they take Jesus to be their main idol. If you knew if they knew as much about Almighty God as they know about, and that's what's happening to us as Muslims, as they claim they know about Jesus, they throw Jesus away. We know the real Jesus, and we know the real Creator. Allah says he's the all-knowing, he's the all-wise. He's not a statue, but he tells you his divine nature, his divine character, that he sees everything, he hears you, can control you, and he will destroy you if you don't obey. That he has love for you, but he hates wrongdoing. He hates rebellion. So he will destroy those people. He will destroy Satan. And, you know, it's interesting because even Satan fears Allah. He's afraid of Allah. The devil is afraid of Almighty God. Why would you be on the side of the devil when he suggests to you to do all kinds of crime, all kinds of sin, corruption, you know, robbery, burglary, drinking alcohol, drugs, shooting people, murdering people, kidnapping people, raping people, all kinds of crazy stuff, abortion? Why would you be on the side of a creature that encourages you or offers you all this corruption and sin and disgrace and crime instead of going to Almighty God who offers you peace, joy? Allah says in the Holy Quran, Allah ad'u ila dar salam. Allah invites you to the home of peace. Allah invites you to the home of peace. Allahu ad'u ila dar salam, yahdi ma yasha ila sirat mustaqim. That he invites you to the way of peace, and he invites you to the path that is straight. He invites you to the way of peace, and he invites you to the way that is straight. And he does that with people that are of the highest character, calling you to keep reminding you, you can do it, you can be successful, stand up, You make a mistake, pray and ask Almighty God to forgive you and get back into the struggle. Get back into the struggle to save yourself, to improve yourself. Join together with other people who are trying to do more for themselves. And stay away from those who are corrupt and call to those who are corrupt and tell them to straighten up. Demand that they straighten up. Demand that they do better. All the way to war. You may have to go to war against the adulterers and the fornicators and the homosexual. If you don't do it physically, at least keep it in your heart and mind that you will never let them impress you or drop your guard against their corruption and falsehood, against their assault. It's an assault on sanity. It's an assault on the goodness in society. It's an assault on proper and sound behavior. You don't want to follow people like that. So, brothers and sisters, let us be grateful and thankful to what Allah for what Allah is doing for us. Let us be as sane. Let us be sane in our behavior. Let us be happy that the Creator has given us good life and opportunity to do what's right, to save ourselves from falsehood. Let us be happy that we have been chosen to stand up in the midst of all this foolishness. We've been chosen to stand up and be the inheritors. Allah says you're an inheriting agent. And he says in the Old Testament that he will give the good people inheritance of the earth, that the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek doesn't mean weak. Allah wants us to stand up, and we will stand up. And we got all these things coming at us, false religion, people who assert this stuff. And we're surrounded by them more and more and more every day since the Pope encourages this and keeps this so-called tradition going, pagan tradition. Since the Pope does it, then what do you expect the so-called children to do, the young people to do? I heard a lady in the store yesterday telling her son and child about the Santa Claus and stuff. All this paganism, this whole period of the year is just stuffed with all kinds of falsehood, nonsense, lies, superstition. All of it's against healthy religion. All of it's against original religion. Our religion is in line with the day that Allah created the heavens and the earth and the substance that he made the heavens and the earth out of. Our religion is just that sound, just that healthy, just that potent, just that old as the creation itself. That's what real religion is. Adam was the first human being, although there's all kind of man-like creatures running around, male, female creatures. But Adam was the first thinking being who could appreciate what Allah gave him. Allah gave him Allah's own knowledge for Adam to exist with, to live with, to use against the rest of the earth that does not have that power and has to have guidance. Adam was the first one with that kind of psychological potency and ability to see and understand what was going on all around him and eventually learn even the things inside of him so that we can have doctors and scientists and great people going on right out of the loins of our father Adam. That's who we are. Wake up, brothers and sisters, and appreciate what Allah is doing for you. Thank Allah for guiding us and helping us. But just remember, Jesus is not qualified to be your human model. Moses is not qualified to be your human model. They only could do what they could do at the time. But Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, brought us something that will help us live forever when we follow that model. We have the completed book, the completed religion, the completed way of life by following what Prophet Muhammad had, peace be upon him. That's why he's called the best of all of the messengers. And he is called the sweetheart of Allah, the one most beloved by Almighty God because of his willingness to obey Almighty God. If we do the same thing, we'll get victory. We'll get victory. Allah says that you will get victory if you are true in faith. You must gain mastery if you are true in faith. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Oh, you believe, do you likewise, and give him a great salute. Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasanatanwa Fil Ashira Hasanatanwa Kina Damana. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of hellfire. Rabbana Hablana Minas Wajina Wadariyatina Kurata Ayinan Waj Elna Lamutakina Imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes, and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana Agfir Lana Dunubana was Rafina Fi Amrina was Sabbat Akdamina was Tuna Ala Kalamu Kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and have mercy upon us and establish our feet firmly and forgive us anything that we may have done that transgressed our duty. And establish our feet firmly and give us strength against those, help us against those who stand against faith. Our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family. And our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Ibrahim and his family. And have mercy upon us, for you are praised and magnified. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Akim is for that. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة قد قام الصلاة قد قام الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, we're now standing for the prayer. And we appreciate you joining in with the call-in and also on the radio program. And we are now going to make the Jumu'ah prayer. There's two rakats. So wherever you are, if you're in a group, then stand shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, stand as though you were a solid wall. And we're going to face the Kaaba, which is in Mecca. We're going to face that direction. And we're going to sincerely pray to Allah, the creator of everything, our creator. Salatul Jumu'ah to Raka. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد لم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Right now, do be alayhim wa la dhalin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. Ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah wa nu'amina bil kitabi la kana khayran lakum. منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of us. We're going to
al-Fatiha for the brothers and sisters who have been healed or who have returned to Allah. And let's do that now. A little bit of the shaitan rabbin, bismillah rahman rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, malik yawmideen. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wa la dhalin. Ameen. O Allah, have mercy upon those who are ill and those who have returned to you, and have been forgiven their sins. Have mercy upon them, forgive their sins to them, O Allah. And those who are ill, get them back on their feet, O Allah, so they can return to their families and to their different careers and vocations to take care of their families, provide for their loved ones. O Allah, guide us and have mercy upon us. And let us say, Kul hu Allahu ahad Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul hu Allahu ahad Allahu samad. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُلَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين تكبير الله أكبر تكبير الله أكبر تكبير الله أكبر When we said Kul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. That is a very weighty verse, a very weighty chapter in the Holy Quran. And that chapter is so weighty that it is equal, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it's equal to a third of the Holy Quran. So if we say it three times, then we have said something that is as weighty as the whole Quran. And Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, said, for every letter of the Holy Quran that you recite, that you get 10 blessings. 10 blessings for every letter that you recite of the Holy Quran. So let us remember the Holy Quran, learn the Holy Quran, remember the Holy Quran, and keep the Holy Quran, practice the Holy Quran, because this is the central language and the central guidance from Allah. Those are Allah's words to us so that we remain firm. Our religion is thousands of years old. I know it was revealed 1,400 years ago in the form of the Holy Quran in its completion, but we have been practicing Allah's verses or Allah's truth for thousands of years since the days of Adam. Allah taught Adam perfect language. Allah taught Adam his own knowledge that Allah wanted him to have. And so we have that in our hearts and in our souls and in our tradition as Muslims. So let us keep the Muslim culture alive no matter where we are and enforce what Allah has revealed in the Holy Quran. Enforce it, brothers and sisters. Stand by it. May Allah bless each and every one of you. We'll speak to you soon again, inshallah. We appreciate the help of the Blog Talk Radio program and Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad for being the director of the program that brings our Jumu'ah to the community every Friday. And we appreciate his support and help so much that he's been doing for so long. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. May Allah bless your family no matter where you are. We got people calling in from across the country. We got people calling in from across town, the other side of Los Angeles. We got people calling in from Sacramento, California, other parts of California. We got people that call in from other parts of the country. I've been told they call in from Georgia, New York, Chicago, up in the area of Philadelphia. And so we appreciate you so much for joining us and for supporting us and for supporting Brother Amin's radio program. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.